Good morning.
Good morning.
I thought I would start off this morning letting you get into my mind and kind of explaining to you the thought process that goes in my mind sometimes when I'm writing a sermon, and especially trying to come up with the title sometimes. Because my initial reaction for the title of today is was to say the cost of doing good. And then I thought, well, I'm not good. So how can I do good? I mean, there's times when we do good things, right? But there's a lot of times when I don't do good. I do the opposite of that. I do things that are bad. And I thought, okay, what about the cost of doing right? Kind of the same thing again, because I'm always struggling with that. I'm always struggling with doing right, and then what usually creeps in is I wind up doing wrong. So then I came up with this brilliant idea, the cost of trying to do what's right. Because isn't that really what we all do? And really, I think it goes to show you the correct, in a sense, the correct theology of who we are as Christians, because we are a saint. We are forgiven by God. We've been washed by the blood of Christ, and we are righteous before God only because of Jesus. But yet, while I live my life here on this earth, I struggle with doing right. And so I try to, but quite often I fail, and I do what's wrong. So that's going to kind of be how we approach the message for this morning in a couple of different directions that we're going to be going on. So would you pray with me? Lord, we do thank you for this day, and we thank you that we do have the opportunity to be here today in a house of worship in a public setting, that we didn't have to fear coming here this morning, but we openly can come and worship you. Lord, we ask now that you would open our hearts to receive your word, and Lord, that you would block out some of the distractions that might be racing through our minds so that we can focus on your word and hear it today and apply it to our lives so that we can live our lives for you in this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tomorrow is a Memorial Day, and obviously we've had a somewhat of a patriotic theme to this point in the service. And I'm always fascinated and interested in looking back, and I can't remember from year to year sometimes what each holiday exactly means and where it came from. And so I looked up Memorial Day again, and if you know this, good for you. Just indulge me to explain it to you. But Memorial Day was initially, I guess it evolved over time because it was initially called Decoration Day. It was Union soldiers during the time of the Civil War went and decorated the flowers of the Union soldiers who had died in the Civil War. They decorated their graves with flowers, I believe is what I read. But which makes a little more sense to me too. On Memorial Day, we go and decorate the graves with flags now, remembering those soldiers who died in battle. Then over time, Confederates picked up some traditions too of decorating the graves of their soldiers that passed away. But then over time, it became Memorial Day to remember soldiers that had died in all of the wars associated with the United States of America. And I believe it was in 1971 that Congress actually declared it an official holiday that we would remember all of those who have died fighting for our country, a day to remember those who served in this capacity and lost their lives in battle. And so as we think about that, and I thought as we think about the cost of trying to do what's right, I mean, obviously, these soldiers were put in a position to where they had to fight and defend the rights of our country, to protect our country. And yes, obviously, they were doing and they were trying to do what's right. And I'm sure there was times when they slipped up and they failed And they might have been even told some things to do that weren't right. But yet at the same time, in the heat of battle, they were doing what they thought was right, what they thought was best for our country and for everyone involved. And so what I wanted to do is, I can't imagine being in that position fighting in the heat of battle for our country. I thought I'd show just a quick video clip, kind of as a tribute for Memorial Day to our service men and women who've lost their lives. I don't know if you noticed there at the beginning, there was a couple of phrases that said being scared to death and still doing what was right. You know, in the midst, in the heat of battle, I mean, they had a lot of choices that had to be made. And like I said, some of them might have been the wrong choices, but a lot of them were choices that they made because they knew that it was right, the right thing to do to protect our country, to protect the freedoms that they were fighting for. And I've never thought about that. They gave up two lives, the one that they were living and the one that they would have lived. Because most of these guys were extremely young at that point in their life when they lost their life for their country. And so, the cost was great. The cost was great for trying to do what was right. And I say the same is true. I'm going to try to make a tie now from our military men and women to us as Christians as we live our lives in this world. And we try to do right. I mean, I think inside of all of us as Christians, we try to do right, but yet at the same time, we know that we fail. But I believe our 1 Peter passage, the text for today, speaks to this, you know, the cost of doing and trying to do what's right. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 14. It says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you." Now, I know that all of us experience challenges and struggles in this world. I mean, we experience illnesses, we experience financial struggles, relationship issues, all of those things that go with just life and living in a sinful world. But what Peter is trying to tell the Christians at this time is that don't be surprised when you face these challenges and difficulties when it comes to your faith. I mean, they were being persecuted because they were believers in Jesus Christ. And fortunately, we don't have that as much in this country as other countries do. But first, Peter is really trying to encourage the Christians at this time. Don't be surprised when this happens. And in fact, he's saying this is going to happen. But be strong. He goes on to say, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler." This kind of seems strange thrown in here like this. "But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer." I think he's throwing this in here because he's saying, don't let the suffering of this world be your fault. You know, sometimes we can do things, and we do some pretty crazy things that bring suffering on ourselves. And I think Peter's trying to tell the people, don't do that, because you're going to have plenty of suffering that comes outside of yourself than to bring more upon yourself, you know, than you would need to. And so he's saying this suffering as a Christian is going to happen, so don't cause more pain to yourself by doing these evil things and that would bring more pain upon you. He said, "Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name." And then over in chapter 5, verse 6 and following, he says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be careful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen." And so as we live our lives in this world as Christians, we know that there's going to be suffering. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be times when our faith is tested. And I tell you, it really, I guess it shouldn't puzzle me because Peter says it's going to happen. But it's kind of fascinating that this time of the year with graduations taking place, a lot of times we don't see, like I said, the persecution of Christians in this country like we do other countries. It's in more subtle ways. But around graduation time, it seems to never fail that someone's speech, like a valedictorian or salutatorian speech, is pulled, or they're cut off during the middle of their speech because they're doing what? They're talking too much religious stuff. And I know that I just looked on the internet and found, and this is even crazy, an eighth grader graduating, and I think it was in a small town in Illinois. He was the salutatorian of, and I didn't know you had salutatorian valedictorians of your eighth grade class, but this town evidently did. And so he was to give a speech, but he was told, no, you can't give that speech because there's too much God and too much Christian religion talk in that. and it's a very conservative small town. And so it kind of got the town into an uproar. And so at the time of the graduation ceremony, they got up during the middle of the ceremony is what it sounded like, because a neighbor right across the street from the school said, "I want you to give that speech. You can give it in my front yard." So they got up during the middle of the ceremony and everyone went across the street and he gave his speech, and then they went back over and finished the graduation ceremony. But the point is, you know, we think that we live in a country where we're not persecuted for our faith. But it seems like more and more there's more pulls and tugs in different directions where people are saying, no, you can't speak in the name of Jesus. You can't speak your religious beliefs in this situation. And we see it, I mean, even at schools, teaching confirmation, I find that the kids are sometimes so worried about it too. And in my mind misinformed to the point that they say, "Oh no, we can't speak about Jesus." And I say, "Oh yes, you can. It can't, you know, teachers can't teach Christianity, but there's nothing that says you can't speak about Jesus." And so we have this fear brought into us that even if students say anything about Jesus, that there's going to be some kind of corporal punishment, you know, placed upon them if they say anything about Jesus. And so in subtle ways, we have this fear brought upon us and this persecution brought into our lives about not being able to speak about Jesus. Some people may have lost job promotions. Some people may have lost their job. Some people may have gotten a job because they didn't stand up for their Christian belief. And so we have a lot of areas in our country today, yeah, not as severe. And like I said, told the kids this morning, I didn't tell them exactly this, but you know, when I left my house this morning, I wasn't watching my back to make sure no one was following me out to where I was going to worship this morning. Praise God, I don't have to do that yet. I didn't have to wonder when I left the house this morning, is someone going to approach me and say, "Are you a Christian?" and my life be threatened. I mean, it could. I mean, we see that happening in various instances, but not very prominent in our country today. And so we have a lot to be thankful for. We have the cost that it costs the men and women for these freedoms today. We have an extreme amount of things to be thankful for, that we have the religious freedom that we have in our country today. The only problem is we try to do what's right. We try to stand up for the truth of God's word, but there are going to be times when we fail. But the beauty of our failure is the fact that Jesus didn't try to do right. He did right. And that's where I struggled with the title of my message. We can truly say Jesus did right all the time, every time. We saw in our gospel reading how the Pharisees were always trying to trap him into saying something that was wrong. But he always had a remark that was right, and it would close their mouths. Jesus always did what was right, even to the point of costing his life. And his life means that we have life. His death means that we have forgiveness. His resurrection means that we have the promise of eternal life. And in those moments when we fail, when we fail to do what's right, when we do what's wrong, we know that Jesus died to save us. The cost of his life means that we have forgiveness in life. And so as we live our lives in this world, we are going to be confronted with various forms of persecution. And I fear that it's getting worse and going to be worse as time goes on. And I could be wrong. But I pray that God gives us the strength to stand up for the truth of God's word, knowing that ultimately we will be with him in heaven someday. That passage in 1 Peter chapter 5, toward the end there, it says, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." We have the promise of eternal life. And what we experience here on this earth, he says, is just for a little while compared to eternity, in which ties with Emma's graduation speech, or a rope and a piece taped off. I should have borrowed your rope this morning, I guess. Or maybe you've seen it. Did Eric preach that here at one point? But he had a rope with just a little bit of the end taped, and that's your life here. The remainder of the rope is eternity. And so while we have a little time here, we know that whatever we experience here is nothing compared to what eternity will be for us as Christians. We will live with Jesus in his presence for eternity, worshiping forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for all that you give us. And Lord, as we live our lives in this world, we know that there are going to be times when we are confronted with challenges, struggles, some of them physical, some of them challenges that we've brought on ourselves. But Lord, we pray that you would strengthen us for those struggles and challenges that we will be faced with because we believe in you. We ask that we can be strong witnesses of who you are in our lives so that more people will come to know who you are. We do thank you once again for all of the men and women who have lost their lives for the freedoms that we have in this country. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.